You might say yes. You ever been on the other side of that? Well, I mean, I was. You know, you get saved and you start studying, which I did. I mean, started reading, and then I started looking at passages. So let's look at one of them. Hebrews 6, okay? And you say, huh? Is that where you go, Joe?
Well, no, Hebrews 6 and yeah.
Well, there's more, but that's one, okay? That's one. And listen, we are in here talking about the New Testament as a transition period, okay? So is it possible that the issue of eternal security can be something that was X during the time this was written, the Bible, and it's Y now? Is that possible? Now, you should say yes, because that's the truth, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about. On the screen, what you have here, this is our last slide from last time when we talked about the afterlife, and we said, when did someone get certain about going to heaven? Well, it sure wasn't in the old covenant. Over here, before Jesus, heaven was closed. No one has gone into heaven, he tells Nicodemus, except he who has come down from heaven. Okay, so nobody was there yet. What about during Christ's time? Was heaven open yet? No, you should say, because I showed you and we looked in the book of Revelation that shows even in the book of Revelation when these plagues were going to happen, that until those plagues and the wrath of God and all that was finished, the holy place was still closed. Nobody in there yet. So how do we stand up at funerals and say, here lies Richard, but that ain't Richard. Richard's with the Lord. You got to understand that something happened in the new covenant after Jesus, and you better recognize those things in the scripture. Now, the same thing applies with your eternal security. Same thing applies. That's why I started here, because the scripture that gives you a real good picture of the transition is Hebrews. And we ended with Hebrews 8, 9, and 10. Hebrews 8, 9, and 10 says, that old covenant over here with Moses, it is still standing. Those priests are still ministering. Until it's taken away, it is proper before God. Oh, but wait, what about Jesus' people? Aren't they proper before God? Yes. At the same time? Yes. That's why it's called transition period. So that's why Hebrews is the warning book. And so you just, when we read this, let me turn there, but somebody go ahead and read Hebrews 6, at least 1 through 4 or 1 through 6, and you exegete that for us, please, and tell us what you get out of that. Somebody jump out there.
For leaving the beginning of the Christ, let us press on maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, the instruction about washing and laying out of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we shall do if God permits. For the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age about to come, and then fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified in themselves the Son of God and put into open shame.
Pause there. Okay, can you lose it or can you not lose it?
They could.
That's right. Okay, there's the answer. Garrett knows the answers, okay? But if you think that Hebrews was written to you, well, I mean, nobody ever told me back, almost 40 years ago, and they said, well, are you a Hebrew? No. Well, then that doesn't interpret for you, okay? In a way, how does that apply to you? We can talk about that, but this wasn't written to you. And people still they've been out of shape, that you mean this Bible wasn't written to me? I stand on every word of every chapter of every verse is written to me. No, not any verse in any chapter was written to you. Nary, none. Was it written for you, for us? Absolutely. Applicationally, but you got to get into interpretation. But okay, be honest. Anybody ever bring you this verse, a new Christian, or Arminian, or whatever? This is where Arminians go. This is where I went before I understood anything. Because, well, are you telling me that they weren't really saved? That's what some people would say, right? They're not really saved. Because look, this doesn't work. Verse 4, They were once enlightened. Well, they tasted the heavenly gift. What does that mean? What's this mean? Partakers of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Tasted the good word of God. Powers of the age about to be. That's what it says in your Bible. You ought to put it in there. Tasted the powers of the age about to be. If they fall again, you can't renew them. Can't do it. Okay? Now look, you got to admit that's troublesome, right? Until you get it properly exegeted. That's troublesome. And I got a couple more too. But I just wanted to lead out with this one because this is where everybody goes. Comment.
Wait, to the question, you mean they weren't saved? And, you know, Brooke was good to bring it out. That there were, as you presented, there are two facets to that. Right?
Two facets.
Out of and into.
Go ahead.
You know, two chapters before this, he's going to point back to that original Exodus too and say, hold on, unless, like they, you're not delivered into. They come out, they were still on the way.
So for them, tell them, out of and into what?
Well, out of Egypt.
Out of Egypt. Amen. Amen. So look, if you understand that we're in an Exodus period, how long did this period last from Pentecost to Holocaust? From Pentecost to Holocaust, if Pentecost was in about 30 AD, Holocaust we know was in 70 AD, how many years? 40 years. How many years was the first Exodus? 40 years. Was Jesus the new Moses, the final Moses? Yes, same. And we know Jesus was here to do an Exodus. He said it on the Mount of Transfiguration because he was talking to Moses and Elijah about your Bible says sometimes, decease. Like about his death. No, it's about his exodus. Very good. So keep that in mind. Exodus of Moses, as Garrett says, was a type, a pattern. Come out of Egypt, out of that sin, and into the land where they live with Yahweh. But this generation comes out of the real sin death, not land, not Egypt, not physical incarceration. They come out of real sin, the death, and they come into living in the real land, the spiritual country, spiritual city, spiritual relationship with God, face to face, which means in the Holy of Holies. That's the reality. So that's what we're going to look at. Until you know that you're living thusly, what I just saw that said, you don't have security. And thus, you say, like my Church of Christ friends, when we used to go into prisons, and they would teach these guys, we were overcomers class, they said, you better stay faithful. Better stay faithful. Salvation comes from, you ever heard this one? Believing loyalty. Believing loyalty. So you got to believe, but you got to be loyal. Kind of like what CF said today. He says, you should obey. But what if you don't? What if you don't obey? Well, it's okay. It's okay. It's not okay. I'm not saying it's okay. You're not going to lose your salvation today. But that didn't sound like Hebrews 6, did it? Sure doesn't. No. If they turn away and they stomp on God, stomp on the blood of Christ, it's impossible to turn them back. Back to repentance. Yeah, that sounds hard. Come in.
That's why they relied on yearly feasts and forgiveness and all that. Their security was only 365 days.
That's right.
They felt really good on the day that they were
yes.
Re-up their security. Like,
yes. Yes. Yes.
And they re-up it. And
yes. That's right. That's right. Listen, that's it. So look, I'm going to tell you, are Christians today secure for now? And let me tell you, the answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. There's no question about it. Properly understood. Okay? If you have the faith of Christ, if you are in Christ, whatever words you want to use that the Bible uses, okay? Not that I have believing loyalty, because I want to ask you, how much loyalty? How much loyalty do I got to have? What did Jesus say? Shall love the Lord your God, how much? With all your what? Heart, mind, soul, and strength. I never done that on my best day. All? You? Somebody stand up and testify. I'm scared to do that. And then love your neighbor as yourself? I have trouble loving this neighbor as myself. Look, I love me the most. And I'm trying to get over that every day. So if it's believing loyalty, or said another way, obedience, how much? How often? If it's tithing, how much? 10% of what? Gross, net. That's all that stuff. Well, what if I don't feel like it, but I do it? Am I a cheerful giver? Then does it count? So anyway, look, this comes down to, you ever heard of lordship salvation? I'm going to quote a guy that believes in lordship salvation, which says, if you have Jesus as your Savior, that ain't enough, because you got to make Jesus your
Lord.
You've seen it in campus outreach. You've seen it in colleges. You've seen it in people. Campus. You got to be, make Him your Lord too. So get to reading that Bible, get to going to church, get to tithing, get to praying. Well, how much? How much? Just tell me how much. I want to check that box. Ain't like that. Okay, so here's the deal, and still intro in this, but are Christians today secure? I'm telling you that in the New Testament transition, it's fulfilled in your security. I'm going to show you how it wasn't and it was, okay? So here's the question. Can I lose salvation? I'm using these words purposely, and I'm going to tell you why. Can I lose my salvation? That's sozo. That's deliverance. And we understand that by I've been saved, okay? I've been saved. What about eternal life? Can you lose that? What about your adoption? What about your redemption? What about your sanctification? I use these five words because I'm going to give you verses, not today. I'm going to give you verses next week that show you. Listen to me. They show you in the New Testament that they say they had it. Every one of these five. They had it. And I'm going to show you a verse right next to it that says they were waiting for it. Now scratch my head. They had it. But they were waiting for it? How can that be? Two words. Transition period. They both are true. They both were true. You are not in a transition period, though many people would teach you that we still are in a transition period. Okay? Here's the transition period. Well, first my question. Do we still hope for these states, these positions? Do we still hope for that? Or do we have them? Well, if you go to the verses I'm going to show you at first, you're going to say, I got it. If you go to the verses that I'm going to show you second, you say, I'm still a hoping. I'm hoping. Who's my main hope? Jesus is my hope. No, you have Jesus. That's what I'm going to try to prove to you, that the Bible will tell you that at the end of their transition period, you have Jesus. You also have the Spirit. You also have the Father indwelling you. The whole Godhead indwells His body. And then I don't know, I ain't sure about the individual stuff, okay? But God indwells His people, and His people indwell Him in the Holy of Holies. That's what it is. So here's the theological issue. A-B-N-Y, that stands for already but not yet. Is it possible that there can be a position that someone is already in a state, but they're not yet in the reality, fullness of that state? Well, shake your head yes. That's exactly what we're dealing with here. So here's my transition period, which I call the transition period unto telos. Telos is a Greek word that means what? End. Most time your Bible says end. Hold on till the end. Well, what they really, it's a better way, is hold on until the goal, the consummation, the design, the aim, the fulfillment. Those are all synonyms. It never means end chronologically. Oh, is it the end yet? Is He through yet? My gosh, is He done? Is this end? No, okay, not until the consummation. So I give you three things to keep in your mind. You should remember Pentecost to Holocaust. What happened at Pentecost? The church was blank.
Started.
Born. Yeah. Church was started, born. Now, it really wasn't, okay, but Jesus was the first. But let's say all non-Jesuses, okay, that's when they got the Spirit. Yes? So I don't think, not many people argue with that, do they? If we just use that as a marker, okay, from Pentecost to Holocaust. When did Holocaust happen? I'm giving it to you. 70 AD, and it doesn't just mean that Jerusalem burned down. What it means is the Holocaust was when God, Yahweh Himself, Jesus, the commander of hosts, Yahweh of hosts, He caused the Roman army to come and destroy them. And it doesn't mean a physical destruction, although that was a sign. It was a sign of what? Who will posit? What was the physical destruction of Jerusalem a sign of? end of the old covenant. Was that a pretty definitive sign?
Yes, because the temple was gone. They could no longer do sacrifices.
No more sacrifice. Temple's gone. Okay, right. What would it have taken for Jews not to go over there no more? Not to go. Well, it's going to take something. And the old prophets, in the old covenant, they used to say, I'm going to make Jerusalem or Judah a byword so that if people come by here, they'll say, anybody ever live here even? Is that bad? That's bad. How long? Well, it doesn't matter. Okay, Jerusalem was gone, not as far as a physical place, but it's gone as being of any kind of integral importance in the redemptive plan of God. No more. Now, I wasn't taught that either. I was taught 1948, started again, blah, blah, blah. But so anyway, just stay on point, Richard. Pentecost to Holocaust, that's your transition period, or that's the 40 years. Also, this is a good one. Inauguration to consummation. Might you admit that what Jesus did in his ministry and work on the earth was inauguration of the kingdom among men? I know that the kingdom was all the way from Adam, okay? But let's just say in this context, inauguration to consummation. He inaugurated it. Did John the Baptist talk about the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God has drawn Ingus, near, at Lim, right here. Here it is. Okay? Yes. All right. Unto consummation, and that's that word telos. Okay? There was a consummation. All right? And so that's the same thing. And then another one that keep in mind because it's so good, infancy to maturity at the bottom. The transition period was where the church began as an infant, but the church was growing. Right? It was standing up. Think of it. It was standing up to reach a position where it was going to have standing before God. Listen, so it as a body can walk in before God in the Holy of Holies and live before Him with no barrier. No barrier. The veil is gone. And we got a little taste of that on the cross. The veil was torn. But it wasn't the end of it. That's just a sign of what was going to come. And if you go and look in the book of Revelation chapter 15, it tells you that holy of holy place in there, that's the throne where we've been looking. That's the throne. That's the goal. That's the place you want to be. It did not open until the seven last bowls of wrath were done. Until God's wrath was finished. All right. So there's the case, okay? There's the summary. There's the summary of what I want us to be thinking about. Is this what the New Testament teaches?
Okay. And so the Holy of Holies was open, but you didn't need that physical one any longer because the people now had direct access to God. So
Amen.
Therefore, tear it down.
Amen.
Another reason to tear it down.
Amen. It's not needed. It never was about physicality. Other than it was a type, I mean, that was what God chose to do, yes? Through a physical, through an ethnic people. It's a big debate today. Who's the true Israel of God? Well, you ought to say Jesus, all right? But Jesus was the Israel of God. Well, who else? We are. The people have faith of Jesus, right? What'd you say?
Faith of Abraham. I mean,
who have the faith of Abraham? Yeah. I mean, that's excellent. I mean, Abraham was given a covenant that was for him and his seed, and that seed was singular. So it's Abraham and Christ. Who has faith? Whoever has the faith of Abraham, that's the seed of Christ. That's in him. Same thing. Very good. Okay, so comments about this? Now look, this went against everything I had learned as a new Christian because I was taught we're still in the transition period. We're still in already, but not yet. Okay? And so it's been, let's see what time it is. Oh, about 2,000 years since we've been in the already, but not yet. That's longer than the Moses deal. One of these days, people will be arguing about this, and it's going to be longer from Adam to Jesus. But I guess they'll still be doing it. Okay, so we already looked at one of these. Can I lose this? But let me give you this. Here's where you got to ask your security question. And I'm going to quote John MacArthur. I love John MacArthur. The first whole set of commentaries I got was a fellow died. His daddy said, hey, I know you read. We always talk theology. He says, come over here and get some books that he left. Mickey's books. And so I went over there and the son had died. He gave me a whole set of John MacArthur's, missing like one volume. So I ate those things up. So he's a hero of mine, but I don't agree with John MacArthur on his lordship stuff about you got to do. Okay? So here's what I just pulled this quote down. Sadly, most think today the promise is future. John MacArthur writes, "Now look, we have not yet totally been redeemed. We've been redeemed spiritually, but we haven't had our physical body redeemed, a la Romans 8. Is this common? Believe me, John MacArthur he's broadly followed. It is common, okay? What does he mean by a la Romans 8? For the creation groans, even now, awaiting for the revelation of the sons of God. Were they waiting for the revelation of the sons of God? Yeah. Are we waiting today? He said, we're still waiting for the final revelation of the sons of God. We're not. Okay, we're not. The sons of God are the spiritually reborn. But at that time, you had Jews, you had Gentiles, and they were trying to come into one body. One body that was an infant was trying to stand up and be a man, be a human. Okay, no slam against women. Well, man. So here it is. Look, that is common. That's what I was taught. Most of you were taught that. You hear that much about preaching, that yes, you're going to heaven, but really what you're looking for is this. Physical body redeemed. You ever heard that? Or rather, a glorified physical body. You heard of that? That's your ultimate goal. You're going to come back? Huh? That's what you're told. I'm sorry, but that's what you're told. It's not about relationship. It's not about exaltation and glory in Christ. We throw that in there because we don't think He came and gave you security. We don't think He came and gave you ability to go to heaven. We don't think He came and judged His enemies. We don't think He came and got resurrection for those people that were waiting. We don't think He came like He promised. And so we got to come up with all of these new and different and sometimes even illogical approaches. You just don't understand what this is saying. You don't understand Romans 8. See, the creation groans. That means that these rocks and trees and dirt, it's still waiting. No, it's the creature that's waiting, and it ain't dogs and cats and bugs and slugs and mosquitoes. It's man that was waiting for the revelation of who the real sons of God. Is it those old Moses people? Is it them? Is it them? Or is it the new Jews, new Israel, with Gentiles and Israelites too? Huh? Well, the answer should be obvious. It's not about the physical creation, John. It might be. I could be totally wrong, or he could be totally wrong, but I'm going to show you that I think it's going to prove to you that it's not about the natural creation. Those trees are doing their job. That dirt and those rocks, it's doing their job. We're not doing our job. So that's why I say, and I quoted this too, but I believe it. He, John, doesn't know what time it is. He thinks we're still living in a transition period. Already, but not yet. Okay? So do you see the dilemma? Comment about that.
Well, Christians today, they go to Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles to participate with the Jews that missed the transition.
Yes.
So that was a foreshadowing of the end of the transition.
Yes. Do you hear that? The Feast of Tabernacles was a shadow, a type of pointing to the ultimate living with Yahweh in dwellings. Isn't that what you're saying?
Yeah, and all the nations are invited to that one before the transition ends.
Yes. Yes. Why did they sacrifice 70 bulls at the Feast of Tabernacles? Does that ring a bell? Ding, 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 ding. Genesis 10 and 11. 70 bulls. Why did they, for their whole time, Gene, 70 bulls? What were they thinking of?
70 nations.
Bring them in. Amen. Bring them in. We're the light to the world, don't you know? We're the salt. We're the leaven. Let's go get them nations and restore them back to Yahweh. Is that what they did? Not so much. Nary. None, okay? You want to bring them dogs in here? No. No. Okay, so there it is. I'm just saying it out. Now, here's a definition. David Briones, he's a professor at Westminster Theological Seminary. He writes this in an article, and the article is on the already but not yet. Okay, so pay attention. Read it for yourself. For now, today now, Christians live in a great theological tension. We already possess every spiritual blessing in Christ, but we do not experience the fullness of those blessings yet. In one sense, we are already adopted, redeemed, sanctified, and saved. In another, these experiences are not fully ours. They're not telos ours. Underneath this theological and practical tension are the two comings of Christ. He's right. In his first coming, he inaugurated the last days. I love it. In his second coming, he will complete them, consummate them. I love it. He is so right. In the meantime, we live for now in the overlap of the ages. Forget the last sentence and then chew on the rest of that, most of the rest of it. We're not in an overlap of the ages. We're in a consummated age. It's called the Christian age, not Judeo-Christian, by the way. It's the Christian age. You have been fully redeemed. You've been fully sanctified. You've been fully adopted. You've been fully consummated. You ain't going nowhere out of someone whose grasp is of you, Jesus said, and also my Father. No one grabs them out of my hand either. That's what you got to understand. And if you don't understand transition period, you are reading anachronistically. Remember, the only thing I remember about Shakespeare in high school is they said, we're reading this play, whichever one it was, and it said, and the bell tolled, you know, like rain. And then they said, well, this is an anachronism. That's why I remember it. It's a chronos. It's not chronos. Because whenever the setting was, whatever it was, Romeo and Juliet or something, whatever, they didn't have the clock that would toll. They didn't have a clock that would go dong. I still remember that. So if you're doing this, you're just anachronistic. You think we're 2,000 years into a transition period. And that doesn't fit anything. Doesn't fit anything typologically or whatever. Okay, so comment. I hope this challenges you to say, but also realize, look, these are smart people, Westminster Theological. I mean, they're smart people too. And so I'm not saying... Well, I guess I am saying I think they're wrong, but they might not be wrong. I'm telling you, don't listen to me. You go study it yourself. So comments on this. Do you understand now here what we mean by already but not yet? This theological issue of tension. Going away of the Moses age, rising up of Jesus age. Moses, Messiah. Old age, new age. Yes? So you got it now situated. Ready? Comments? Then.
It would seem like you're forced into that.
Yeah.
Tension, right? We create it. Because we've dealt with the other facet over the last many weeks. If you're set on, look, the final consummation of this is, I'm not here. I, in this realm, am glorified. And we.
Yes.
We misallocate the glorification, right?
Instead
of saying he is the head.
Yes.
We're glorified in that he gave himself as head over his body, which he says we are.
Yes.
And we look for another glory.
Yes.
If you're hung up on that and you're forced into something saying, well, this can't, it must not yet.
There you go. What does a glorified body look like? Was Jesus' body glorified after his resurrection? Yes. 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 He was back reconciled with the Father. Positionally.
After his ascension.
Well, I'm just talking about his resurrection. First. Because, I mean, and I'm just saying, well, was it shiny? I used to ask at our Easter deal. We'd get together with family. I said, did Jesus have a shiny body? You Catholics, did he have one of those halos yet?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Yeah, you saw it in all the pictures. Okay? So was he, or was Jesus, okay, now I'm not saying he's fully back to, let's make a, you know, I don't want to get on a rabbit trail, but Jesus was not yet fully restored to the glory he had before the foundation of the world. He wasn't that, because at his ascension, he's going to go back to the throne. I've not yet ascended. Well, look it up. I don't know. I'll stand corrected. Well, look, the point is that why do you want a body that's just going to let you walk through a wall? Is that your goal in your Christian life? I'm just saying that's not the goal, is that you're going to come back and be shining, have a halo, walk through a wall. No, that's not it, okay? I think whatever it says there, Jesus was for sure telling them, this is my self-same body. Touch me, feel me, put your hands there. So look, I'm just, you know.
It just says I have not yet ascended.
I've not yet ascended. So I'm not saying there's not more than that, but anyway, you say something. Go ahead.
You're saying something about the overlap of the ages here, and I guess from the Christian perspective, you could say, well, the second coming might not have happened yet, blah, blah, blah. You could say that. But what about the other age that's supposed to be overlapping from the Mosaic age? That theirs is gone.
It's gone.
There's nothing.
There's no overlap, is there?
There's no overlap.
Yes. And one of the verses we look at is the one in Matthew 5 where Jesus says, I did not come to destroy the law and the prophets, right? I came to fulfill it. And not one jot or tittle of that will fall until what? Heaven and earth pass away. Now, if you understand code, heaven and earth is not the physical cosmos. It is the old covenant cosmos. And until it was destroyed, until it went away, it wasn't finished like Jesus said. And that's what he's talking about. That thing is gone. It's not coming back. What they do in Israel today, that is nowhere near, okay, what Mosaic Old Covenantism is. Ever since 70 AD, they've not done any of that. They can't even find a priest anywhere. You can claim to be, I'm a Kohathite, so I'm going to be one of them priests. Well, Aaron's the one you got to be. I don't know where they get Kohath. I don't know. I just don't want to go look it up. I don't know. Somebody can look it up. Anyway, here's the point. But John got a good question. When was Jesus glorified? Fully glorified. Okay, I don't know. But he sure was in some kind of glory, because people use him after the resurrection as what you're going to have is a glorified body, and you'll be able to do these tricks. It ain't about the tricks. Glorification is about a status, a position, and you have it. You are glorified positionally. You are sanctified positionally. You're adopted. You have eternal life. You are saved positionally. And that's the main one that counts. Can you fall away in your condition? Follow me around. Of course you can. That's why I'm not based on you. Okay, so suppose here's a good, I think it's a good example. I didn't think of it, but I like it, okay? Suppose that you're, and somebody, when they wrote the exam, suppose you're 18 years old and you inherit a lot of money, but they said you can't have it till you're 21. Are you rich? Do you have it? You have it already? You own it already? Is it yours? Yes.
Positionally, you do, but conditionally, you got right till 21.
Yes. 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 So I changed it a little bit. I like this better. Suppose you're an infant church, an infant, and you're rich. Relative Jesus dies and leaves you the inheritance, but you can't have it until you not turn 21. Because are you mature at 21? Raise your hand if you was all mature at 21. Okay, no, you can't have it until you're mature. And who tells you the maturity? The Father. The Father decides when you're mature and when you're going to marry the Son. Okay, all that. You cannot have it until you mature. The inheritance is yours, bold already, but you can't have own it. You can't fully own it. Until you mature, not yet. The already but not yet tension underlies the whole New Testament message. Because it's a transition period. It should not be for you today. You got it. I wish we would expect that and say, I'm just hoping until Jesus comes. Then we're really going to do it. Because you know what? He's mad. I saw Tim LaHaye tell Larry King one night on late night. I never watched him, but he was going to be on there during the whole heyday of The Left Behind. He says, when he comes back, he ain't no lamb no more. He's shaking his finger at Larry King, who's a Jew. He said, he is the Lion of Judah, and he is mad, and he's going to conquer everybody. He's going to do this and do that. That's what Tim LaHaye was telling him. By then, I already had enough of that to say, no. He did that to his enemies because that was part of their covenant. That ain't promised anybody else. Anyway, I'm just saying. That's a big deal. It's hard to get an altar call after you give that stuff. But maybe some people do. Okay, here's something I want to do before we leave, because we sang a song this morning. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, something I stand before the throne. Righteous I stand before. Faultless I stand before the throne. I hope. Oh man, if I can just. That's what my Church of Christ used to tell them prisoners. He said, now listen, if you're thinking the wrong thing and you're driving and you just saw a woman and you're thinking something and you have a wreck and you die in a crash, you're done. I'm glad I don't go to Church of Christ.
You lost yourself.
Huh?
You lost yourself.
You lost yourself. Okay, so look, here's what you should be saying. Since he said what he's going to, since he did come with trumpet sound, thus we are now in him are found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless, we stand before the throne. Get off of this future stuff. Realize what you got. That's the definition of security. That's why I change the words. Change the words if you want. Make them theologically proper. Since he did come. Why do you believe in Jesus if he's a liar like most Muslims say he's a liar? Atheists say he's a liar. Jews say he's a liar because he didn't do what he said. It's clear. Look, you know what he said. No, you just don't understand what come means. You don't understand what generation means. You don't understand all that. If you understood it like he really meant, you would still be waiting 2,000 years like we Christians are. And they say, hogwash. He's a liar. Get off of it. But if you understand what he did, you say, since he did come with that trumpet sound, then I am found in him. I'm found and dressed in his righteousness alone, fully, consummatively, done. I can stand before the throne. Like he was telling those, was it Hebrews? And he says, come before the throne with boldness. Because they already had it, but it wasn't yet finished. Already, but not yet. Okay, so last comment. They had, but they were waiting for eternal life. They had, but they were waiting for righteousness. They had, but they were waiting for salvation. They had, but they were waiting for redemption, adoption, sanctification. I said a while ago, it's five. It's six of them. And next week, I'm going to show you. What am I going to show you? I'm going to show you verses that says, you got it. And I'm going to show you other verses that says, you're waiting for it. So explain that. Already, but not yet. Already, but not yet. And the only way that you would explain it, that it applies to you, which it doesn't, is that you say, we're in the already, but not yet now. And you're not, I'm telling you. You are done, consummated, completed, positionally. No, I'm talking about that. Just not conditionally. Okay? Comments, questions, okay? And so, anyway, yes?
You know, if you don't learn from history, the saying is you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Yes.
So you have the Jews, had the Messiah come.
Yes.
But he wasn't the conquering king,
military
force that
yes.
they wanted.
Yes.
Completely. Now you have Christians very much doing the same thing. This guy, he's not come down and wiped out our enemies. We're not running around in our glorified shiny bodies with streets
right.
of gold and big mansions.
That's right.
They're just missing it.
That's it. I mean, look, we're as bad as the Pharisees. We're bad as the Sadducees. We're the Herodians. We want to fight somebody. You know, you wait till my big brother comes. He's going to show you, and I'm going to be with him. No, look. If you want to fight, I tell people, you want your son to go to the military? Don't go to the one we got because there ain't going to be no righteousness. Go let him take up the sword of the Spirit. And won't you send him out there in that kind of conquering where he can do work? Now that still applies, you know? That's what you ought to be doing if you want to fight somebody. But man, I don't know. We still want what you said. You just wait till he comes, huh? Yeah, you wait. We've been waiting. He came. If you don't understand what happened in 70 AD, the whole complex of events, that was the armies of God working through Vespasian and Titus. Josephus, who was the eyewitness, he says, this fortress would never have fallen except their God caused it so. That's right. That's right. He was a Jew. Okay? He was a Jew. I don't think he said their God. That was his God too. Yahweh. Old Covenant Yahweh. He knew. He knew. Okay, so I hope I've set up the setting for you. And next week, we're not going to take this long on each one, but I'm just going to show you. Eternal life, righteousness. Every one of them, it says they had it. They had it. They had it. And then it says they didn't have it. So which is it? Both. But for you today, I hope you understand you are not waiting. Quit saying that you're waiting for the blessed hope. Luke 21, is that it? I think it is. I'll check it for next week. When you see all these things come to pass, lift up your head, because who uses this? Is David Jeremiah? At the end of his everyday podcast, he says, lift up your, when you see all these things come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. And he's telling you to do that. He only missed it by 2,000 years. The other one I was thinking of was we wait for Jesus. Maybe I'll find it. We wait for Jesus from heaven, from where our blessed hope comes from. That's either Titus or Thess. Okay? They were waiting for the blessed hope, which is Jesus, which is to come back. But you got a better deal. A friend of mine, David Curtis, he says, hey, you don't hope for what you already have. He says, I used to go to sea, and I would take my pictures of Kay, and I'd put them in my bunk, and I'd be looking at them pictures, you know, every day. But when I got home, and I got the real thing, I have it, not the image, not the type, not the... He said, I threw that picture away. Does that make sense? We don't know what we have, and we still quote out of context a verse that says, you're still waiting on your hope, waiting on your hope. The rapture is my hope. God's going to get me out of here. I hope He's going to take me out of this garbage can. You ever hear that? Sadly, you hear it right from our own church. And maybe it's right. I don't know. You check it out. Don't believe me? Don't reject me. Go check out, and we'll look at verses next week. Anything else? Comment?
Can I correct what I said?
What'd you said?
I only missed it for 40 days.
What?
I have glorified thee on earth. This is when He's in the garden praying.
Yeah.
I have glorified thee on earth with the work Thou gavest me to do. Now glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory I had with thee before the world was.
Okay.
Well, anyways, sounds like after the
And that's in John 17?
Yeah.
That's in John 17. So Jesus was saying, glorify me on earth. Jesus was already glorified. Jesus was never unglorified except for a moment on the cross, maybe, where He said, Eli, lama sabachthani, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? I think He lost the glory then, or suffered the death, whatever you want to say. But other than that, He had the glory, which is a positional deal. And I'm not saying that He didn't have some, I don't know, in a human. Well, anyway, just don't get into that. So on the earth, He was glorified, but He also asked to
glorify me now, before He even died on the cross. He's saying that.
There you go. That's good. You have something. It's like a non-event, but it's a huge event. It's when God changed His people. He divorced His old wife and killed her. She was a harlot. She was bad. And He took a new bride that was clean and bright, descended from heaven. And we're offspring of that. I don't think we're part of the bride, but that's debatable too. You know, people still teach that. You're part of the bride. No, we've been married and we got children for 2,000 years. Maybe. Different way to look at it. Okay, Father, thank You for Your word. Let us desire to chew on it. And eat it, because it's food from heaven. Physical food, we're hungry in four or five hours or less. But spiritual food, it'll last us forever. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.